Hey guys, Pastor Jürgen here. I'm so glad you're tuning into one of our powerful messages that is guaranteed to absolutely elevate your life to another level. At Awaken, we only want to preach fresh, real, powerful to help you grow stronger in your walk with God, develop your faith so you can take more territory. I'm praying that God blesses you and enriches your soul as you listen to this amazing word from God. God bless you.
I just really felt, you know, I don't usually preach on Wednesday nights, and I was excited because I really felt like God, I didn't really have a specific word or something that I really felt like God was teaching me. But coming off of Easter, I just felt like just continue in on that thread. Like we're gonna preach Jesus tonight. It's gonna be like Easter 2.0, you know. But like I mentioned in the beginning, you guys are here. It's like the upper room. It's like Jesus had the resurrection, and then you guys are lingering for the power. You guys are here waiting for the power. And so that's what I feel like is going to happen tonight. You know, it's like you're here waiting for him to show up, and he's here, and it's going to be great. So, you know, we're going to preach Jesus tonight. And I had this vision in my head. It's like newspaper headline. He is alive. He is risen. And so, you know, that happened on Sunday. So all across America, people came into churches and heard about the resurrection power and that God was risen from the grave. And that's great. But what do you do after that? Where do we go from there? Jesus gives us, you know, tools for that. And so my title of my message tonight is the best news story. Okay, there we go. Yes. I wrote in my notes, can you make it a newspaper and like a headline? And so good job, production media team. I love it. I love it. So we're going to talk about the best news story ever tonight, Easter 2.0. So we know that God sent his son to die on the cross for us. We all heard that. But are we living like it? What do we do from there? And so I'm going to help you through 5 points tonight on how we get to do that, how we can live better and worthy of what he did for us. Okay, so if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke 4. So I read this last Thursday. It was in our Bible in the year reading. And so I read this last Thursday. And to be honest, I couldn't stop reading this. And so even though I felt a little stuck up on what to preach on, I was like, well, I've read this every day for the last 5 days. I'm just going to preach on this. So we're going to read on this, preach on this. So Luke 14, 18 to 21. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Okay, let me give you context. Okay, so Jesus, he returns to Nazareth where he had been brought up. He grew up there, and he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was custom, and he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he opened the scroll, and if you watch The Chosen, you can see this happen in there. He opens the scroll, and then from that scroll of Isaiah, he starts reading right here, and that's where I'm picking up. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus says, for he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. And then verse 20, he rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, sat down, and all the eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. What did he just read? What? Did he just say that about himself? And then he began to speak in verse 21. I love this. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. And could you imagine the atmosphere in that room after he read that? He's reading about his own prophecy, and he's standing in this room, and he reads that, and he's like, yep, that's now, and that's me, and I'm going to bring salvation and do all of these things. How cool is that? So cool. And I just love that because that's a mic drop. And so everyone in the room's like, what? What did he just say? And I just love Jesus because that's so amazing. And so he came to fulfill the prophecy that he was reading about, and that was him. And so let's take that and take it for ourselves. So if Jesus is saying he came to do those things, so how do we take that and make it our own? So my first point here is proclaim the gospel. So the gospel is the good news. It's the God story. It's the headline. What is the gospel? It's telling everyone the good news of who Jesus is and what he did. So, and it's funny because he was saying that in the prophetic verse. I can't get over that, how cool that is. So the gospel, so we are to preach that to the meek, to the destitute, to the people that are downcast. Those are the people that need to hear this. And, you know, what is it like to introduce someone for the first time to the gospel that has never heard it before? How amazing is that? That once they were lost and then they were found. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteousness by faith we live." So the baton has passed to us. We now become the messengers of this good news. And we should be excited about that. And why I felt like today we need to talk about this is because Easter, it's like everyone's talking about it. And then everyone goes back to their normal lives. So I was like, okay, we're going to talk about this. And I love it because, you know, what if you told someone who's hurting and downcast and having trouble in life, I actually have a solution for that. We actually have a solution. Would they believe you? And God is good. Jesus is the answer. And so all it takes is us to share with them our testimony, our story, and invite people to church, help those in need, and then they will see the gospel fulfilled. And I love it. So when Jesus died on the cross, he declared, "It is finished." So I looked up that word in Hebrew, and it's tetelestai, okay? Tetelestai, which means mission completion, debt paid in full, victory won. And it wasn't a cry of defeat on the cross, like, "It is finished." He's like, "It is finished. We are victorious. It is done. The mission for why I came to this earth has been fulfilled." And what amazing way to think about that. It's like, he wasn't saying, "Oh my gosh, I'm like, finally, my time is over." No, he was like, "I've accomplished the mission for which I was sent." And it was a celebration. And so we need to look at that as a celebration. Like, thank you, Lord, for what you did on the cross. And when you go to watch Hero this week and you see DJ on the cross and he says, "It is finished," you just know, like, the ground shook and gosh, like, all of these things happened. And what a powerful moment that was. And side note, if you come to Hero on Saturday, you might see a cameo from someone that is sitting on the front row. So can't wait to see you, Stan. I think you're going to be a Pharisee, but that's okay. We like you still. All right. So how do we live worthy of what Jesus did? How do we live in this victory? The debt is paid. So what do we do now? And I think the first thing is coming into relationship with him. It's like, okay, like recognizing and acknowledging that he is our Lord and Savior of our life. So making him Lord, making him number one, that's the first thing. And so I made this little slide because, you know, who is Jesus to you? And Jesus can be so many things to you in so many different seasons of life. And so Jesus, and this is just a few of them, but I made it a slide because I was so encouraged making this slide. I felt like I had more peace this week preparing this message than I've had in months. And honestly, I think it's because of this. Jesus, the Alpha and Omega, he is the Good Shepherd. He's our Savior. He's our rock, our fortress, and deliverer. He is our tower, our rescuer and shield. He is our redeemer. He is the light of the world. He is the man of sorrows. I had to look that up. He understands our grief perfectly. He knows what pain you're going through. He is our rock. He is our refuge in a place of safety. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's no other name above his name. He is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Lamb of God. He is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He is Prince of Peace. He is our friend, and he is the King of Glory. Amen. Let's give Jesus some praise tonight. And just so incredible. And there's so many more things that Jesus is and so many names that he is. He is everything you need, where you're lacking, where you're insecure, where you're hurting. He is there. And just such an incredible, if you're ever down or depressed, just do a study on all the things Jesus is, and you'll feel better. Because he will never leave us or forsake us. I love it. So as amazing as Jesus is, he did go to the cross to complete this mission. But why? He said, because to accomplish the work of the Father. But Jesus said in John 16:7, but in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate won't come. And if I go away, then I will send him to you. And this advocate, you guys, most of you guys probably know him. Hopefully all of you. He's the Holy Spirit. And he empowers us to carry Jesus wherever we go to accomplish the works that Jesus has left us to do. So I love this because I used to think, gosh, how cool it would have been to live in Jesus' day and to know him and walk with him, which I still think that's cool. But then he's always like, I am with you still, actually. And I get to be with everyone on earth at the same time. And you're never without me. I'm like, yeah, okay, good point. Thank you, Lord. So never forget, you know, that he is with us always. And in Acts 1:8, this is Pastor John Heinrich's live by verse. I didn't give this to you guys, but it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And I just love this because he doesn't just leave us like, okay, guys, here you go. Like, go on your way. He equips us. And he gives us power. And I love that Awakened Church, we're a church that is not afraid to operate in the things that he's telling us. We live like in the Acts, what they're doing. And right here in the book of Acts, Peter picks up the mantle where Jesus left off. And he's healing people, preaching the gospel. People are getting saved. And this I thought was funny. In Acts 3:12-13, he says, Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. People of Israel, he said, what is so surprising about this? Why do you stare at us as though we have made this man walk by our own power and godliness? For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all our ancestors, who have brought glory to this his servant Jesus by doing this. I love Peter. He understood the assignment. He's like, guys, yes, we're doing these miracles and healings and people are getting saved, but why are you looking like at me? It's all because of him. And I just love that he just says it so plainly and deflects it, you know. And so I just love Peter. So he understood the assignment. And if Peter can do it, so can we. Peter was not the son of God. He was a disciple and an apostle and a preacher. And the same Holy Spirit that's on him is the same Holy Spirit that is alive and with us today. So I'm just going to pray. I'm going to pray right now. God, I just thank you for activation of the Holy Spirit. And every single person sitting in this room, I thank you, God, that we would feel encouraged to preach the gospel, that we would step out with faith, that we would be bold and courageous to help others, that we would not be ashamed of the gospel, that we would stand proud. I thank you, God, for people stepping out in courage to pray for healings, pray for miracles, signs and wonders, all the things that you've asked us to do, just as Peter did in these books. Jesus said, greater works will you do than I. So I thank you, God, right now for a stirring of faith in this room. I thank you, God, that you rose from the grave, not just for our salvation, but for us to live in power. So I thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit coming and touch every person in this room, Lord. And I just thank you, God, as you minister to us and encourage us to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. All right, let's go. I'm excited. I wore my, like, boxing jacket because I was, like, pumped up. And yes, and my sneakers. So I can run fast. How am I doing? Okay, awesome. All right, so that was the first thing. I'll recap the scripture. All right, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed us to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent us to proclaim the, that's the next one. He has sent us to proclaim that the captives be released. So my next point is release the captives. I feel like I should say that in an accent. Release the captives. Like Princess Bride or something. I don't know. So Matthew, I'm a little loopy tonight. It's good. All right. All right, Matthew 27:51-53. At that moment when Jesus gave his last breath, The curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook. The rocks split apart. Tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many people. Isn't that wild? Oh my gosh. It was like the ultimate defibrillator. It's like, and it's like, Jesus died and everyone raised from the dead. It's like, all these people walking around. Like, how crazy is that? Oh my gosh. I love it that his resurrection power was so powerful that other people that were nearby got new life. And I feel like it is a picture, you know, and here it happened in the natural, but it's a picture in the spiritual that when, like, when the power of what happened on the cross, it has the power to resurrect the people that are sleeping, that are captive, that think they're captive. I don't know where they are, but they're not living with Christ yet. But when Jesus, and we just preached a whole series on the resurrection power of God, so you can go back and listen to that. But when Jesus gets near, like, death comes to life. And so how incredible that in his death this happened. And so when we connect with Jesus, we find life and we find freedom. And so this is where Pastor Michael touched on it on Sunday at Easter, saying, you can be free, but not know you're free and walk it out. And so this is where, yes, God can bring you back to life. God can bring you into new life when you get saved. But do we step into that freedom? And that's where I really feel like this is releasing the captives. This is a part of that part, because Jesus does do the resurrecting, but we have to, the captives have to walk out of their cell. The captives have to realize, actually, I don't want to live in this place anymore. And so they actually have to take the step of faith out. And that's really powerful. So, you know, in this church, we believe in the power of deliverance and setting people free from things that might be tormenting them, or even things that they may not see themselves. We can help them. That's called discipleship. Like, okay, I think there's a blind spot here. And so we can walk people through that. But if you're not wanting a change or willing to make a change, it's really hard to force that person to take that step of faith. And so some people, even though this power is available, some people still stay in bondage, you know, either because they're afraid, they don't want to step out, they don't know what that's going to look like if they step out. And so we as the church, we need to come alongside them and be like, it's actually okay. It's actually, you're going to be much happier, you know, as a free person than staying captive. And so just know that freedom can happen in an instant, but sometimes it takes a little help and friendship and discipleship and relationship to help those people walk out into from captivity. All right, so that's faith. Okay, number three, the next part of that scripture that Jesus read was giving sight to the blind. And this one, you know, there's many people in the Gospels where he healed their sight and gave them eyesight. And I believe that he means the spiritual as well as the natural. You know, that we will see eyes being opened and people being healed, but also being able to see clearly, you know, without a veil, without cloudiness. And so many people, even in church, they see it dimly. You know, they come in and they have a relationship with God, but do they see clearly where what God has for them? And I love this. So Jesus just raised Lazarus from the dead. And in John 11:44, he says, and he who had died came out bound hand and foot in grave clothes in a cloth over his face. Pastor Yerkin does a really funny version of this. And so Lazarus comes out like this, you know. It says he came out. And Jesus said to them, the people standing around, loose him and let him go. So Jesus did the resurrecting, but he's using us, people around, to help untangle, take off the bandages, take off all the things, unbind the hands. Like, Jesus didn't do that. He told them to do it. So Jesus uses us and partners with us and actually depends on us to do our part in this. You know, Jesus does what only he can do, and then we do what he asks us to do, and it's to help the people that are around us. So how beautiful is that? So the people unwrapped and set him free. And I love that because that's what the church is. And that's why the church is essential. You know, some people, a lot of people, they think, well, I just have a relationship with God and that's enough. Well, it's enough to get you into heaven. But is it really... you're living your best life for him on this side of eternity. And how I look at it, I mean, obviously I've given my life into serving him, you know, and it's the best choice. It's kind of like, where else am I going to go, Lord? Like, I'll do what you ask me. There's no other place I'd rather be than to serve in your house. So whatever he asks me, I'll do, you know, but some people, they need to know that there's fellowship and relationship in the church, and that there's a reason why God wants us to have relationship with each other, and that we need each other, that God is alone is not just enough. I mean, God made Eve because he wasn't enough for Adam. And so let's not discount the what's happening with each other. And it's sad because this spiritual blindness and or darkening or dimness, I feel like is prevalent right now in America, in the world we live in. People have, I didn't look up the numbers, but people are struggling with depression, anxiety, and not be able to see clearly, not be able to think clearly. A couple weeks ago, I met two young men under the age of 30 that were severely depressed. One had a PhD in something from Stanford. And he was so crippled with depression and anxiety that he was not able to work. The other boy, he had electrodes like under his skin and his brain. You could see like little lumps to control his depression. And he was like getting shocks to help him. And I cried about it because I was like, oh my gosh, Lord, like these boys are in their 20s and like, this should not be their portion. This should not have happened to them. And it just hurt me, like, my heart, because I wanted to help them. And I wasn't really in a situation where I could speak to them, like, about this. But I was praying for them, like, okay, like, please, somebody, preach the gospel to them and help them. And it just really stirred my heart about what's happening in this world. And I feel like that those are just two boys that I met. That what is happening in America, these lives of the young people are being stolen away from them, and it's like their vision, because we need a God vision, because if we don't have a God vision, the devil will steal your future. Like, because what happens, you walk around like, well, I guess I have no purpose, so I'm just gonna stay at home. And I know this is depressing, sorry everyone, but this is happening in America, and it just breaks my heart, and it's not okay. but I feel like they just haven't been introduced to a savior that they can learn, like, there's more for you, that there's so much more that God has for them. You know, they don't have to live that way. And if you know someone that is living that way, or if you, even though you're here, you feel that way, I'm going to pray for you. You don't need to raise your hand. But God, we just break the spirit of depression that is over America right now. We break the spirit of anxiety that's been plaguing our nation, that it is crippling our young people. It is crippling our you know, the people that are supposed to be the next generation, God. So we just break off this spirit of darkness that is over them, that is leaving them in like a comatose, God. We just break the spell over them right now. And I just thank you, God, that you are the Prince of Peace, that you are a God who cares, that if we, I thank you, God, that they would have ears to hear, that as they go out into the world, that you would speak to them through people, through kind people in their world, God, that they would have ears to hear, and that they would hear the message of the gospel. They would hear that they don't have to live that way anymore. And if there's anyone in here that's struggling with that, we just break the power of it over you right now in the name of Jesus. We lift the fog right now, that the fog is removed, that you would be able to see clearly. That I just feel like there's some people in here that you've lived in a place where you're just barely functioning. Like, maybe you have a job, or you have, but you're not, you're thinking, this is not it. Like, you're even thinking like, God, this is all you have for me. So I thank you, God, that you are giving those people dreams and visions tonight as they sleep, that there is more for them, that there is more. They don't have to live that way anymore. So we just pray right now for freedom in this house, in Jesus' name. Amen. I lost where I was, but that's okay. So I was just talking about vision. And I just had this picture as I was praying about America. And have you guys seen the movie WALL-E? Okay, it's cute. But it's kind of sad too, because so they basically trash the earth, so they have to go up into this space center and resort, and they live up there in this movie WALL-E. It's a Pixar movie. It's a cartoon about a robot. But these people are floating around on these chairs with a TV screen in front of their face. And I felt like this is the picture I had when I was preparing this message. Like, they're existing, but they're staring at a TV screen. And it's like, you're alive, but you're not seeing anything that's happening around you. Like, it's like, you're not even paying attention to it. You don't see it. And so that was the picture I got with these people that we need to help get their vision back. So what happens in the movie is someone gets bumped and their TV turns off or something. And then he's like, wow, look how beautiful it is outside. Oh, there's a pool here. There's a swimming pool and all these things. But the crazy thing is, these people have been so brainwashed or numbed that when they finally decide they want to not live that way anymore, they had trouble walking and standing because they had lost their strength. They had been floating around in space. And so that is what, I'm like, goodness, like, it really encouraged me, I guess, in a way that we really need to help people, not just let them hear the gospel, not to just set them free, but we need to help get people's vision back and in a proper way and where God can use them. Amen? Okay. All right. Number four. We are going to set free the oppressed. That's the next thing Jesus says. So oppressed, and we talked about this a little bit, but meaning shattered, feelings of unworthiness. This speaks to identity brokenness, that they are oppressed, that they are bound, that maybe they're free, maybe they're out walking around, maybe they have vision, but they're still feeling like there's tethers holding them back, or they still have shackles on their feet. And so, you know, it's so important that we understand that there's still opposition towards us when we come out in freedom and walking with Christ. It's not a cakewalk. It's not every day. It's like, this is the best life ever. It is, but we do still have struggles, and there's things that we do need to fight against as Christian, like believers. It happens. And so this is where we go on the offense and where we fight against or come up against the things that have held us back or things that have tried to defeat us. So even for me, there's things I defeated that seem to revisit me every now and then. It's like, what the heck? You already went away. We already cast you off. Why are you back here? But it's just a reminder that, you know, like, okay, I trust in you, God. It's almost like God reminds me, I'm still here, and we still need to be aware of these things that might be opposing you and the life that I've called you to. We can't be, not aware that there's an opposition towards us. Why is it so easy to believe the lies of the enemy? Why do we so easily believe that when we get a doctor's report that's not great? Why is it so easy for us to just accept it? Not in this church, but why is it so hard to believe the promises of God? Why is it so hard? Like, that God is for us, that he wants healing for us, all of these things. It is. It is hard. It's a step of faith. And then I'm going to read this to you. So C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Screwtape Letters. And it was written in a perspective of a demon uncle, Screwtape, who writes letters to his demon nephew, Wormwood, and coaching him on how to better tempt and thwart his human patient away from God. It's a fictional story, but it's a really good representation of spiritual warfare. So simply put, Screwtape abuses numerous aspects of life by instructing his nephew to make the human forget about God, or at the very least, believe he has been abandoned. In fact, Screwtape writes to Wormwood and says, in effect, that the Christian who does not feel God's presence but still chooses to obey him is their greatest threat. Because that's faith. I don't know, God. I don't feel you right now. I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't know why I'm trusting you. I don't know why I'm taking this leap of faith. But I trust you anyway, because you are good and I know your character. And so that, when it's exactly that, when we take steps of faith, that is the enemy's greatest fear. He doesn't know what to do with it. He doesn't know. And that's why faith is the opposite of fear. So how amazing is that? But I loved John 10:28 says, "For I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." So we don't need to be afraid that the enemy's going to snatch us away. He promises here. He's going to watch over us. Nothing shall by any means hurt us. And God has already won the victory. So whenever we're feeling like, okay, why am I feeling this way? Why do I feel oppressed right now? This isn't normal. I wasn't feeling like this before when I got saved. Why is this visiting me now? Just remember, God is with you. And sometimes, you know, things come at us, but he says, nothing, no one shall snatch them out of my hand. He's got you. So we can be brave. We can step out in faith every time. And so right now I'm going to pray again for agreements made in our vows. Because sometimes we are oppressed because of things we say over ourselves or things we've made agreements with. So I'm going to pray for that right now too. So we break any agreements with things where we say, I will never do this. I will never get married. I will never have a child like my mom. I will never do this. I will never be able to have that job. We break those agreements right now in the name of Jesus. They are contracts written over your life that you don't want to come into agreement with. So we break agreement with those right now in the name of Jesus. We break agreements with I always statements, with I could never be statements. I will never own a home in California. We break those lies right now in the name of Jesus. There's nothing that he can't do. And we pray right now just for freedom. Like if there's something that you've spoken over your life and you feel like you've been in a losing battle, well, actually reverse that. If you feel like you're in a losing battle in an area where you can't get ground, it's possible you made an inner vow around that area years before or even not even in your memory. So if that happens to you, if you remember, if it comes to memory tonight or this week, just be like, okay, God, I rebuke that. I come out of agreement. Like, and that's the amazing thing with God is he doesn't come in and like break our agreements for us. It's our own free will. We have a choice. So the things we say, he doesn't like swoop down and intervene and like snatch our words. He said that he keeps us, but our mouth is a powerful tool. And the things we say, we prophesy, they come to pass. So if we make agreements with our tongue, those are things that God doesn't intervene in unless we intervene with God for them. So keep that in mind. And we're going to have the altar call. We're going to have the altar open at the end of service if you want to come down to break agreements. But sometimes those are the things that are keeping us bound and keeping us oppressed, and you may not even know. All right, let's go to our last point here is number 5. And this is my favorite. Actually, it's all good. But my favorite, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And what I love about this is that Anno Domini, A.D., it means the year of the Lord's favor. So every year since the birth of Christ, we've been claiming it as the year of the Lord's favor. Every year, 1983, the year I was born, the year of the Lord's favor. 2001, the year I graduated high school, the year of the Lord's favor. And we've been prophesying that as a nation for all of these years, for 2024 years, until someone introduced something else to take Christ out of it, because that's what they like to do. And they now call it Common Era, CE. Who wants to live in Common Era? Do you want Common or do you want the year of the Lord's favor? Okay, this is what happens to America when you take out Christ. It becomes Common. So we're not going to use that term, but how interesting is that? They're like, let's just make it Common. It's like, no. So we are going to claim, okay, everyone's going to stand. We've got 55 seconds left. And we're going to pray because we don't want to live in an America, in a world that is of Common Era. We want to live in a world that is of the year of the Lord. So whatever that is, whatever that looks for you, that you need God to do for you this year or that you're believing for this year, we're going to claim it, we're going to speak it, and we're going to declare, and the promises of God are for today. So God, Let's all raise our hands. God, I just thank you that we live in the year of your favor. This year, 2024, Anno Domini, the year of your favor. The Bible says to proclaim it, to proclaim it. God, I thank you for favor. I thank you for favor on people in this room. I thank you for favor for Awakened Church El Cajon. I thank you for favor for El Cajon and its surrounding cities, for America, for San Diego, God. I thank you for favor on businesses, business ideas being birthed. Be brave, step out. I know it's gonna succeed because why? It's the year of the Lord's favor. He's with you, he is on it. Step out and apply for that job you never thought you could have because it's the year of the Lord's favor. Go ahead and put that offer on that house you've been looking at. You know why? Because it's the year of the Lord's favor. So we thank you, God. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, God, that you died on the cross, not just for our salvation, but for our freedom, that we can give sight to the blind, that we can set the captives free, that we can release people from bondage, God, and that we can proclaim that the year of the Lord's favor, each and every year of our lives. And we just thank you, God, that you would help us and equip us to do your works, God, that we would continue to be servants of your kingdom, God. Thank you, Lord.
Wow. What an amazing word. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Hey, listen, for more information about our church, go to www.awakenchurch.com or subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already and download our app. It is amazing. It is chock full of incredible messages, information about upcoming events, and you can even support our ministry if you feel so inclined. We loved having you with us today. We look forward to seeing you again. God bless you. Live a life that is transformative. Bye for now.